Good morning. When I was growing up, it was very popular. I don't hear it a lot these days, still hear it, but the phrase, "I see," said the blind man. In fact, I grew up hearing the whole, this was just kind of the beginning of it. "I see," said the blind man to his deaf daughter as he stuck his wooden leg out the window to see if it was raining. That's a mouthful. But most often it just, "I see," said the blind man. And we're going to look at a situation in the scriptures this morning where a blind man really did see. And his eyes were opened while blind. And this was the later Apostle Paul, but Saul, when he was on his way to Damascus, recently in Preston's Sunday morning class, we've been looking at the journeys of Paul. We looked at the trial he encountered on the road to Damascus. Paul was on his way to Damascus with letters approving what he was doing and literally commissioned to go hunt down Christians, to put them in jail, to persecute the church. We're not going to get into all of that today. Most of us know that account and that story. There are three different accountings told in the book of Acts about this. In Acts 9 is the first time we hear about this. And then in Acts 22 and also in Acts 16, Paul recounts these events himself. He's retelling in his words what had happened. But it's interesting, the Lord struck Saul blind. But the amazing thing, he saw some amazing things while blind. And I would like to look at those things. One, he saw that Jesus is Lord. Make no bones about it. He realized that. And in Acts 22, verse 8, in this account, it says, as he's been struck blind, it says, "So I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said," he, Jesus, "and he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting.'" There's a phrase that people use, you know, "I'm going to have a come to Jesus meeting with somebody." This was the original. This is the start of Saul had the original come to Jesus meeting. "Who are you, Lord?" And the response was, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Uh-oh. He was blind, but he saw that Jesus was Lord. He had been spending a good deal of his life and efforts at this time persecuting the church. And Jesus is calling him on the carpet for it. And the other accounts that are almost word for word are found in Acts 9, verse 5, and in verse chapter 26, verse 5. But here, Paul is addressing him, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus responds, "I am Jesus, the guy you're persecuting." And he's persecuting the church. They were one and the same. Jesus and the church. Paul got the message. Another thing that Paul saw while blind, I was wrong and I sinned. This is sometimes one of the hardest things for people to see and to address. We have 20/20 vision with other people. Man, I can laser in and point out things about people. But that guy that's looking back at me in the mirror when I'm brushing my teeth, I tend to not see those things. Paul was blind, but he saw I was wrong. And I'm a sinner. And it hit him between the eyes. It hit him hard. He would go on when later on when he would write to the Romans. He addressed that in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23 he would say, and the wages of sin is death. This was an eye-opener for Saul. That I was wrong. You got to give him props for effort. He was giving it the old college try in his persecution. He was zealous, but in the wrong way. You can't fault his zeal, but it wasn't based on the knowledge of God. And he came to realize, I was wrong. I sinned. In Acts 9, verse 6, it reads, so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He yielded. This Jesus who he had been persecuting, now he is yielding down to him, submitting. What do you need me to do? I'll do it. Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Bet you that was a long walk. Wait till your dad gets home. It's the longest period of time ever. Wait till your dad gets home. Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. That whole time, he's carrying, what am I going to have to do to appease and to rectify this situation. We've all been there. We've all been there when we've realized we have sin in our life. What do we need to do to remedy that situation? Another thing that Saul saw as a blind man, the need for obedience and to serve Jesus. It's not just you were wrong, period, let's go on to something else. You were wrong, you're going to need to do this, this, and this. In Acts 26, we have a kind of a lengthier passage here, a few verses. During this encounter, Jesus will say to Saul, but rise and stand on your feet. get up, quit wallowing in the middle of the road, and stand up like a man. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. That's a lesson all in itself. Saul had already seen some things, and many of those things that will be revealed yet to him, there may be things we'll never know, but a lot of those things that were yet to be revealed, we see in his actions later on in Acts. We see throughout the letters that he will write, coming out what he had been told to do. Goes on to say, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Think about this for just a moment. Jesus is sending him to Jewish people, who he was, to preach Christ to them. And he's going to send him to Gentiles, which as a Jew, he would have never thought. If you'd have asked him 2 hours before this, would you ever be going and preaching to the Gentiles? Absolutely not. This is what one of the things Jesus is telling you're going to have to do. I'm going to send you to the Jews and the Gentiles to open their eyes. The same thing that's been done to him. I'm going to send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's a mouthful. But I'm sending you to not only Jews, but also to Gentiles, that they may see what you've seen. They're in the darkness right now, and you're going to help them. And he finishes up this passage. He'd been talking to King Agrippa, and he says, therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He obeyed, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. One thing about Paul was, as a teacher, sometimes a tough taskmaster. You know, he was tough to live up to. But you know what? One thing I've noticed, Paul never required people, same as Jesus. Paul never required people to do things that he himself wasn't willing to do and that he didn't do. Paul did every one of those. He repented, he turned to God, and then he did works that were worthy of repentance. He showed that he just didn't verbally repent. He showed repentance. Paul lived every day the rest of his life showing that repentance. But we see kind of not a formula, but a guideline here that is universal. That when we're taught the Word of God, and we realize we've got sin in our life, that we repent from that. Not that it's always easy. Sometimes it's not even easy to see. But once we do see it, to repent, turn to God, and then do the works showing the repentance. And the last thing that I saw, that Paul saw, the blind man saw that day, was the need to be baptized. The need to be baptized. Next, 22:16, this was the scripture James read. Thanks for reading that earlier, James. Paul had been sent into Damascus to look up a guy named Ananias. And Ananias told him. Ananias was part of that equation. You will be told what you must do. Ananias was part of that, telling him and teaching him the word of God. And toward the end of this, he asked him the question, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This is a major one verse, but powerful. We see the when of baptism. When you realize what you need to do, you don't wait. You don't put it on the church's schedule of baptisms, the first Sunday of the quarter, like some do. Why are you waiting? Why would anybody wait for salvation? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. We see what happens at baptism. That's when we're saved. That's when the sins are washed away from us, when we're baptized. And we see the why and how, calling on the name of the Lord. We're not doing it in the name of anybody else. We're not doing it for any other reason. We're doing it for salvation. We're not joining a religious body. We're added by the Lord afterwards, but we're not joining a group. We're not doing it to appease, my fiance is expecting me to be baptized and be part of her or his church. We don't do it for that reason. We don't do it out of peer pressure. We don't do it, my best friend did it at camp, so I want to do it. Calling on the name of the Lord, and no one else. No one else. In this short event, it had such big impacts, not only on Saul, who would later be called Paul, but on everybody that he would come into contact with after that. On that one day, Saul, when he was blinded, he saw that Jesus is Lord. He saw that he was wrong. He saw the need to obey. And not only to obey, but then to continue to serve Jesus. Amen. And the need to be baptized. Not too much different from us today. We were blinded for many years until we opened our eyes. And the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. If there are people here that have not heard, that have not put their Lord on in baptism, I'm going to say the same thing Ananias said to you. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If there's anybody here that we can assist through baptism, through prayers, through repentance, whatever your need, please come while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand together and sing.